This week on It's So Bad, we talk about the game known as Batman Arkham Asylum. The reinvention of the superhero genre. We discuss where it will be on our endless list. Where will it end up? Stay tuned here on It's So Bad. Welcome. We have a big crew here today. So we have Steve. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Mike?
Good. And Matt, how are you doing?
Fabulous.
Excellent. And Chris, how are you doing?
Michael, hello. I am well.
You're back for your second episode in a row.
I am.
That is excellent.
Like a fungus.
Like, you're just sticking with us.
Yep.
Forever. And what are we doing today? We're adding Batman Arkham Asylum to the endless list of games. And what is the endless list? Steve, do you know what the endless list is?
I do know what the endless list is.
What is it?
I'm looking at it right now. It is, well, right now it has an end, and the end's at 28. But it's our list of games that we, every time we talk about a game on this pod, we add one to the list, and we situate it among the other games.
Oh, yes. And we judge it by many factors. Largely, it's largely subjective, but what its legacy is, what its how its gameplay is, if it holds up, if it was good for its contemporary time, if it had any innovations, etc. But we add it to our list. But what are you guys playing these days, aside from Batman Arkham Asylum?
I've been playing a little bit of Apex Legends, which just came out, and I think a lot of, Mike, you have too.
Yes.
Matt, you have as well.
Yes.
Been playing a little bit of that. Some Rocket League, always sprinkled in there for good measure. And I replayed the Titanfall 2 campaign recently too, so that was fun.
Very nice. And Chris, what have you been playing?
Well, you know, all the modern games.
Yes.
You know, Sigma Star Saga for the GBA, because I recently got a. That's not a modern game.
Yes.
That game is 20 years old.
Yes. Yes.
So I've been playing that. Still trying to beat Gunknack unsuccessfully.
Oh boy.
Trying to beat the original Batman for Nintendo.
You have
unsuccessfully.
You have Gunknack.
On a multi-cart.
Oh, nice.
But it's you know, perfect ROM dump, so.
Good.
Yeah, it's not going too well, though.
Yeah, it's a hard game.
It is. It is a hard game, but.
So you're really playing all the bangers.
Yeah, that's right.
Matt, what have you been focusing on?
I've been playing Sekiro
pretty much
nonstop since it
came
out.
How do you like that?
I like it a lot.
What are you enjoying about it?
It's, I mean, I like all of the other From Software games, well, the recent From, you know, Dark Souls games.
Yeah.
But it's varied enough that it's not another Dark Souls game.
Is it akin to Bloodborne, but a little bit different?
So I didn't play Bloodborne
because
I didn't have a PS4.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's very, the combat is pretty significantly changed from Dark Souls.
Okay. I saw there's a grapple.
There, like a grappling hook.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Not, and then there's also like a pretty significant stealth kind of mechanic too.
No, that's cool. Like Tenchu, but Dark Souls.
Yeah, exactly.
Very cool. I have been trying to play. So I've been playing Apex Legends, as you said, which we've been playing. You should get in this, Chris, in with the.
I
Apex
don't know.
Legend.
I already played Spider-Man. That could be my. That could be all my modern games for the year.
Yeah. Well, Apex Legends is good. I think it's a good different. I've said this before, probably on the podcast, but it's a good different battle royale type game. And I really like battle royale games. I think a lot of people do. They're very popular these days. But for what I've discovered is that as an adult with a child who is 9 months old, it's really hard for me to get through a single player game and also play an endless game that's a games as a service game like Apex Legends and be at any chance of being decent at it. So it's difficult. I've been trying to play Assassin's Creed Origins. I started that and
oh, nice. I've loved the Assassin's Creed like franchise, but I stopped playing. There was the Victorian one where there were two assassins like three games ago.
It wasn't Brotherhood.
No. It wasn't. I forget what it was called.
I've never played an Assassin's Creed game before.
Isn't that the one with the goofy glitches where their faces disappeared?
And, yeah.
Is it Unity?
No, that was Unity. I did play that one.
Okay.
And I mean, the early games in the Assassin's Creed franchise I love. Like when you play with Ezio and it's, you know, in Renaissance Italy, those I love. And these games, the two more recent ones kind of seem like they're getting back to that spirit a little bit. I feel like Assassin's Creed lost its way for a while.
Yeah, it feels like... Did you ever play that Origins?
Yeah, I played a big chunk of Origins.
It feels like fake Witcher. That's what it feels
like. Yeah, I mean... Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, the 2018 or 2017, maybe.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
It was like, you know, they took 2 years off, I think, before.
Yeah, and then they relaunched the franchise with this. Yeah. It's hard because I've played like five, six, 7 hours so far, and I feel like I know nothing about the story because the story is very slow.
Yeah, it's a long game.
Yeah,
I think it's 60, you know, plus hours if you hit everything.
Oof.
I could be wrong, but I think it's pretty.
I think if you do the main story, critical probably more like 30.
They call it critical pathing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's supposedly how long to beat said 40 hours, I think, is the average of people. That sounds right. So,
it always takes me longer than any website or like press kind of estimate of a game.
Because generally I like to like really dive deep into a game, and I'm not, again, critical pathing it, where I'm just doing what I need to progress the story.
Like Arkham Asylum is supposed to be like an 8-hour game, and
that game took me like 12.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
But yes, we are adding Arkham Asylum to the list. Came out in August of 2009, developed by Rocksteady Studios and published by Eidos Interactive / Warner Brothers on different platforms. For PS3, Xbox 360, and PC, I think was the releases.
Yeah, PC came like 2 months later.
Yeah, this was the time when Steam was like just starting to catch fire and not everything was on PC at start, so this game would eventually come to the PC. But why are we adding this to the list? What is your bullet point for why we're adding this to our list?
Because it's awesome.
Because it's awesome, okay.
And Batman's parents are dead.
Batman's parents are dead.
I mean, it redefined, you know, the melee combat system that would be used in adventure games, or, you know, action-adventure games moving forward.
It also showed that a superhero game and like a property could be made into a video game that was good and not just like a promotional add-on to some movie.
True.
Yeah, and I would say Chris and I were talking about this. I think Spider-Man games for PS2 and GameCube, they kind of went in that direction, but they didn't get to the level that Arkham Asylum got to. Like, Arkham Asylum was like a critically acclaimed game, but Spider-Man was kind of like a niche hit for certain people.
I think Spider-Man 2 was a fairly large hit.
Yeah,
I would think.
Maybe. I do see it everywhere, so it's probably had a lot of people buying that game.
I think there was an influence there. I did not hear about this game when it first came out. I wasn't that interested in playing it. It has since become one of my favorite games. But I remember I was in college at the time, and I saw my roommate playing it on PC, and I was just watching over his shoulder, and I was like, it's the opening scene where they're pulling, you know, Joker and Batman show up at Arkham.
And they're riding in the Batmobile. They're
riding him in. Yeah, exactly. And I was watching that, and I was like, this looks great. Like, I had no idea that there was a Batman game out there that you could... that looked decent.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I think he moved out like that week, so I never saw him play anymore. And I didn't have the system to play it either, so I was like, all right, I'll have to come back to that one day.
So just to put this game into context, too, this game comes out in August of 2009. 2009 had Mirror's Edge came out, Street Fighter 4, Resident Evil 5, Infamous, Shadow Complex came out in August of the same month. Halo 3 ODST came out. The month after, in September, Demon Souls, Uncharted 2, Bayonetta, Minecraft.
So, Assassin's Creed 2 came out this year as well.
Yeah, in November, Assassin's Creed 2 came out, Left 4 Dead 2. And that, like, Left 4 Dead, those games really helped to drive Steam as a platform with, like, Half-Life 2 and the Orange Box and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So this was, like, right around that time when Steam was getting popular and PC games would start taking off. But new Super Mario Bros. Wii also came out in November of that year. Dragon Age Origins. But yes, this game... So you guys really like this game?
I love this game.
Am I going to be the contrarian on this podcast?
You don't have to be.
Sounds like it.
I think there's a lot of good. I think there's parts that didn't age well or... Mm.
Can you tell me a little bit about... You mentioned that why we were adding this game to the list is because a lot of the combat would come... this combat system would evolve into what modern combat systems would be. Elaborate on that for a little bit.
I mean, it kind of laid the groundwork for, you know, a one versus many, you know, melee or combat sort of design where you're seamlessly kind of bouncing between hitting guys in front of you, behind you. And I think the biggest achievement was that this was the first game I remember where it looked extremely smooth going from animation to animation. It looked, you know, real.
Yeah. Where you're like punching forward and then you're hitting your elbow back.
Right.
And you're like sending a kick somewhere else in another direction. I could see that.
And this is the first, I mean, there might have been a game before this, but this was the first game too where it implemented like the, you know, the icon over someone's head that they're about to hit you. And so you have to then switch to a counter.
Yeah, okay.
And you can bounce back and forth between countering. And
yeah, and I wonder, since we talked about this when we did God of War, but I wonder if Devil May Cry did something like that before this game.
Well, I was going to say, like, this is, like, it kind of took the button-mashy fighting style of Devil May Cry, but, like, added, like, some element of, like, kind of basic strategy to it that I think makes it, like, fun like a button masher, but, like, also satisfying, though, because there is, like, some strategy elements to it.
You couldn't mash because... Right. A guy could be coming up behind you, and you needed to be ready to counter. And I think like a Devil May Cry game was a little more frenetic, whereas this is a slower pace. And
right,
yeah, there's a rhythm to the combat too. Like it's a pretty simple system. It's four buttons, and then there's some variations with the gadgets. But yeah, like you were saying, you can't just hit attack, attack, attack because somebody will come up, and you have to be ready to counter. You can use his cape to disorient people, and so you have to mix that in a little bit.
Yeah, and some of, they force you to do that with some of the guys to make them off balance.
Yeah, and some of the enemies that you fight have like a baton or a knife, and you can't attack them head on. You have to jump over them. So there's a lot of kind of improvisation as you're going along, and you have to time that in a rhythm.
So let's talk about the story just for a little bit. So you are Batman. You're dropping off Joker at Arkham Asylum, and then shit goes crazy. That's essentially the story.
That's essentially the story. And, well, they say right off the bat that Batman's a little suspicious because it's the easiest he's ever caught Joker before.
Oh, okay.
And he drops him off, and he just feels that something is off. And so the whole opening, you're kind of wheeling Joker attached to this stretcher into Arkham Asylum, and Batman's just, like, ready for something to go wrong.
And we should mention that the voices are done by the people who from the animated series. That's a lot of them. So Mark Hamill does the voice work, and... What's the guy's name, the Batman?
Kevin Conroy.
Kevin Conroy is Batman from Batman, the animated series.
The best Batman, I would say. Like, I love the animated series so much, and there's just something about the aesthetic, and I'm so happy they put it in this game. But, like, his voice and Mark Hamill as Joker, it's just, I don't know, that's... Playing, I think it's consistently one of the best combos for Batman.
I agree. I do love the animated series. Playing this game made me want them to make a game... more in line with the animated series.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is one of my main criticisms of this game. So I'm going to go into a little bit of nerd Batman talk because I was a Batman fan. Well, this is where you get it. So you'd want it. Did you guys ever read comic books, like Batman comic books back in the 90s?
Yeah, I didn't read Batman.
Not back in the 90s, but I've gone back and read some Batman comic books.
I was a Marvel, Spider-Man, Venom guy.
Okay. So I was into like Nightfall, which is when he broke his back.
Yep.
And that's really when I started to get into it. And there was a new Batman for a little bit. Who was Azazel, was his name, but he was like, had like robot arms and like razor claws. It was very 90s. But Bane broke Batman's back after he went through like a series of challenges. I think at one point he rips out Joker's throat because he's just like had it with Joker. In that series, it's fucking crazy.
That is very un-Batman.
He goes through a lot of shit and gets worn down. And that's what the whole thing is. And then he comes back to the Batcave and Bane's waiting for him and he just murders him. He breaks his spine and leaves him for dead, but he's not dead. But
breaks his back, makes him humble.
Yeah. When I was playing this game, I went back to when I read the Batman comic books, and Batman comic books back then were sorted out into like four different comic book lines. There was Detective Comics, there was Batman, there was Shadow of the Bat. Detective Comics and Batman, that series, was largely the same, and they had shared storyline details. They just needed more time to go over it, and sometimes they had offshoots. But Shadow of the Bat was very different aesthetically. So like somebody like Zaz, who is a serial killer, or Scarecrow, would show up in Shadow of the Bat because it was more skewed towards mature audiences. And when I was playing this game, I was very thrown off because the aesthetic was like all over the fucking place. So you look at this game and you're like, okay, here's one aesthetic. The voices sound like they're a different type of aesthetic. And then when you go in the menus, the artwork does not match what you're seeing in the game. It doesn't like flow with it. So I just, and some of the, even the storylines, they were like thrown in, there's a serial killer here, but here's Joker. And here's this wild, wacky Venom that makes people super strong. And it was just like, it felt like it was not cohesive as a game. And maybe that's just a, what it is for the time period, but that's just what I thought I was going through this game. So it was like trying to grab from the animated series a little bit, trying to grab from like the more mature stuff, trying to grab from like the Nolan series, because that series was just coming out at this time. So it was just like, I just didn't feel like it had its own voice.
I agree. I don't know that it doesn't have its own voice, but I think it does blend a lot of those different influences, like you said. Like, yeah, okay, the voice work is from the animated series, but the design is reminiscent of it, but it's also reminiscent of Tim Burton's movie.
Yeah,
a little bit. Which also I think the animated series was as well.
Right.
So it's got that kind of like cartoonish, gothic, looming. It's always a thunderstorm and raining.
Yeah. I just yearned for, I kind of wanted it to be the animated series, because the animated series is like straight lines, not a lot of like muck and grime, very solid colors. And like this game was not that.
I think they took influence from all the things you described, but I do think they tried to, at least as far as like character models and stuff, create their own aesthetic.
Yeah.
And I think it didn't hit it for me. I thought it looked a little goofy. Like Commissioner Gordon is someone that sticks out, where all of his body proportions seem so like, it's like a big head mode kind of.
Yeah. Or,
I thought the way Batman runs is so hilarious.
Yeah.
Some hits and misses.
Yeah.
It's definitely something they refine later in the series too. Cause I started this series with Arkham City, which comes out. It's the second game. And then I went back and played Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
And so much of that is smoothed out in Arkham City.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's still the same style somewhat, but like Commissioner Gordon does not look like this giant blockheaded guy.
Yeah.
And they refine that.
He's jacked in Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
He's like,
and they changed some of the voice work too for them. Yeah. Like some of this, like Cash has this ridiculous, the prison guard. He has this ridiculous voice, and I think they tone that down a little bit. He's not like this super jacked like security guard later. He's like
everybody's a cop. Super jacked.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Just looks a little off.
Except for like the crazy people,
right?
They're
just limber and
why they all are the same is kind of weird.
Yeah.
Because that's not how mental illness works. But
okay. You just have to go through and punch them in the head and knock them out.
Yeah, it's like one
irredeemably
hit,
insane.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
This is Arkham Asylum, guys. This is where the worst of the worst goes.
Yes, it's true. Okay. So it was interesting playing this game, because I played God of War, and then I played this game. And I jumped from PS2 to PS3, and I was like, doesn't seem like a lot has changed. The graphics are much better, but like gameplay-wise, like the animations, as you said, because I needed to understand how you were thinking about the combat, because I really didn't, when I was playing it, didn't grasp how fluid it is for him to punch.
It's not a complexity thing. I think it's purely how it looks and how well put together the combat system.
Because I enjoyed the combat system in God of War more.
Yeah, there's more complexity.
Yeah, because like you can do combos in like Bayonetta games where you can hit like punch and kick, and then it does something special, and then it adds like she shoots her bullet guns out of her feet. Type thing that happens.
Yeah, and that again, I think that's something they refine more as the series goes on, because you play this and it is a little limited. And
I mean, what, there's countering other guys that attack you, mm-hmm. there's the guys with the stun gun that you have to jump over,
mm-hmm.
there's the guys with the knives that you have to use the B to stun, and then there's the Bane or like Venom people that you have to batarang.
Yep.
Yeah,
and I think those are the only four combat
Well,
tricks.
there's the people that are
And the machine gun, like people with guns and stuff that you have to take down. But
yeah,
and then there's also the people who have something wrong with them, who are to like jump around and run at you.
Oh right. Yeah. Okay, but I guess in your standard kind of combat scenario, they don't really vary it much.
No,
And it's really just always kind of a flat arena that you're fighting in.
And that's kind of the one of the things that to lead into. They're the bosses, pretty much all the same.
Except for
Poison Ivy and Scarecrow.
And Killer Croc.
And Killer Croc.
Yeah.
But beyond those three, it's a big giant guy who runs at you and you have to hit him with the back end. And then he runs into a wall. And then you punch the shit out of him.
Yeah, and then a bunch of other thugs jump in and you have to fight.
Yeah, and it gets progressively harder. Yeah. But I was like, even when Joker was that for the last boss,
I was like,
really? You're going to do this for this?
Yep.
That was rough. You have to do that fight, I think, like 4 or 5 times throughout the game, if not more. Because Bane is like that. There's a first guy before Bane that's like that. It's like the same thing. I was like, the second time it happened, I was like, oh, so they're going to throw the same thing at him, and it's Bane. Okay, this is good. And then he's going to be a little bit harder. And then they kept doing it, and I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I wouldn't call the boss fights the strongest aspect of the Arkham series.
Yeah, I mean, the Killer Croc portion pissed me the fuck off, but...
Oh, really? I thought that was kind of fun.
I really liked the Killer Croc portion.
What did you not like about it?
I didn't mind it, but specifically when you're running away from him at the end of it, and you're running towards the camera, I've always hated that stuff. Like Crash Bandicoot, I fucking hate. I needed to go through and play those games a little bit more in depth, but I never liked not seeing what's in front of you.
Right.
So I fucked up that a bunch of times. And then at the end... he sprays down foam before he goes in there, but that's like 20 minutes before that, and I completely forgot about it, so I had no idea where to set off the thing.
I forgot about that too, and then died, and then there's like a tooltip during the loading screen that says make sure you detonate, you know, his explosive foam or whatever.
Oh, you know what?
But yeah, it's not apparent. You're right.
Yeah, and I think I saw that, but I was like, oh shit, I have to like spray it down. Oh, so I sprayed it down before where it was, and then I hit it, and he's like, nope, gonna get you, motherfucker.
I will say the first time I played the Killer Croc section, I was far more enamored with it, and then recently when I replayed it, it was not, it didn't have the same effect.
When you're playing through that game and it gets to like the different stuff, like the Killer Croc or the Poison Ivy or the Scarecrow stuff, you're like, oh yeah, this is a little different. I like this because it's like, because beyond that,
you're yearning for
some variety. I like the Scarecrow portions, even though he looks like a member of the band Slipknot for some reason.
But that's kind of similar to the animated series aesthetic, right?
Oh, I don't remember him in the animated series that much.
It's like a more like ragged version of like his animated series.
I just like, I'm just curious how it works with you to have fingertips from the needles. How does that work? Aren't you like going to get tetanus or something?
That's funny.
Hopefully he plays the rest of the series.
Yeah. He becomes one of the main villains in the third one, Arkham Knight.
Yeah.
And he looks totally different. And he's voiced by John Noble. And he has like this weird kind of... his face is disintegrating and like his skin is hanging off a little bit. Cool.
Who's John Noble?
John Noble is the guy. He's like a famous British actor, I think.
Is he the one that plays him in the movies?
No, that's Cillian
Murphy.
That's Cillian Murphy.
28 Days Later.
Yeah, no. Yeah. In Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, he is Boromir's father. He's like the steward of Gondor.
Yeah.
And he always pops up as like the British mad scientist or villain of some kind.
Nice. He, I love Scarecrow. I love him as a character.
Yeah, I love him.
And so that's cool.
Yeah, I thought all the, you know, when you're playing and you have the effects of the, I don't even know what this Scarecrow drug is.
Yeah.
It's a fear toxin.
It doesn't have a name.
I think it's called fear, isn't it?
I think it's the fear toxin.
Yeah. I mean, there's a part later or at like, you know, the last third of the game where it glitches out. I thought my game crashed. I was ready to alt 4 out of it.
When does it glitch out? I forget. Is it like a Metal Gear?
You walk into the hallway, right? Yeah, you're going into the alley.
Yeah, and
you
it like
the flashback.
It, yeah, well, and it like actually glitches the screen.
Oh. Yeah. I think I remember that. Yeah.
You know, like someone yanked like an HDMI.
Oh yeah. And you like it changes where you are, and you're like walking through like your parents died and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Well, that's later, and then at the end when it glitches, it also shows like the death screen, you know, when you die and like Joker comes up and mocks you and you have to hit restart.
Yeah.
It like fakes that death screen at you again. And it says like Bruce Wayne like should have dodged left or right because he's having this hallucination where Joker shoots him
in the face. And
it's like use middle stick to move left. I just did this morning. But it fakes the death screen at you.
And he's in the strap down.
Yeah.
So you need to move your head.
Yep.
Like the Scarecrow sections were really cool.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a good way to the main focus of this game, this story, was not a Batman origin, but the Scarecrow portions provide you with enough background where you're like, I get this. Even though, do you really need to, in the year 2019, understand where Batman comes from? Or 2009, I should say.
Yeah. That's the classic criticism of those characters. Like Spider-Man, too. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah, Uncle Ben died. Yeah. We get it. We understand. Let's do this again. Yeah. He was bitten by a radioactive spider. That's always we've woven it.
But they don't do that in the new Spider-Man game, right? No. It's much later.
Yeah. It's like 10 years later.
Yeah.
I don't think they talk about his origin at all in the Spider-Man game.
I don't think so.
Yeah. But yes, I've always enjoyed, I think out of all the comic book characters, bold statement, I know, but out of all the comic book characters, I don't think there's a character who has a menagerie of bad guys like Batman does.
Yes, the best Batman.
I think Spider-Man might be second, but
pretty distant second. Yeah. I think, I mean,
who else? You, Chris, you don't seem to agree with this.
I don't know if I would, well, I would say Batman and Spider-Man have one and two. Okay. I would say they're closer. My opinion would be, I think they're a little bit closer in there. They're rogues gallery.
Yeah, I just think there's like so many, like Joker.
Joker's the best villain, I think.
Yeah, Joker is like without a doubt, but he's one of the best villains. I mean, in this game, you have Joker, Harlequin, Scarecrow, Bane, Zazz, who I'd never heard of before this game. Killer Croc and Poison Ivy are the main bad guys.
And the Riddler.
Well, he doesn't even show up.
Yeah, well, he shows up.
He shows up?
Well, no, in his riddles, I mean.
Yes. Yeah. Now, I'm curious. He doesn't make an appearance, though, in this game, right? I don't think he does.
I think that, you know, this is something because the Riddler trophies are a sore point for me in this series where I like the idea, but there are so many of them.
Right.
And so many riddles you have to solve to get to always reveal the Riddler part of it. There's like always like a section at the end. And I forget if Arkham Asylum has that, too.
Yeah.
But like, in Arkham City and Arkham Knight, that's like, oh, collect the 300 Riddler trophies. And
right.
Like, you play through the game and you find out that you've collected 90 of them. And you're like, no, I'm not going to get
the rest. It's
the
worst in Arkham Knight.
Yeah.
I think the trophies I could do without, but I really liked the riddles themselves.
Yeah, those riddles were good.
I thought they were well done. It was fun. Like, you know, I started this replay thinking I wouldn't do them, and I was kind of compelled to do them as, you know. I saw more and more of them.
Right. Comparing this to God of War, I thought it was very much like God of War where they like just hide it around a corner or something of your camera.
The trophies are... Lazy's not the right word. It's just like, you know...
It's like thrown in. Yeah. It's like you add a little bit more depth.
Yeah.
And so you get riddles. You have to solve them for each like a room. And they're what they are. They're not bad. Yeah. They're not great. There's too many of them. There's like way too many of them. But yes, let's change gears here and talk a little bit about the gadgets of this game.
Classic. You have to talk about the bad gadgets.
Yes. So we have the Batarang, the explosive gel, the line launcher, the bat claw, and the cryptographic sequencer. I don't know why they needed to throw in the cryptographic sequencer. They couldn't call it the code breaker or the bat code or something.
This game really beats the dead horse of the frequency matching minigame. With the cryptographic sequencer, vents, and like pulling down vent grates.
It's like everywhere there's a vent. There's one point where Joker's like he's like, okay, you have to solve a puzzle where there's like a electrified pool, so you have to solve that, and then he blows up a tunnel, and you're like, oh god, how do I get across this, get through this tunnel? There's a vent right next to
it. Yep.
Yeah,
some great network on that island.
Can I say one of the things that always bothered me about the vents is when you, so like you rip a vent off, you rip the grate to get into it, and then sometimes that grate or the vent will lead to another room, and it'll be a room full of enemies, and you'll be up, and Batman will just kick the grate off, and it'll fly out, but it's supposed to be super stealthy.
Right.
But I just think like there's this grate that just shot off into the middle of the room, and nobody saw this.
Well, a lot of the sometimes though, if he sees a guy and you see the guy while he's doing the animation, he'll like slowly push it off.
Yeah. But even then, he'll just drop it like from the top,
as if someone didn't hear. You know, a 10-foot drop of a metal grate.
Yeah.
Right? That's another thing too. Is like another like very video game thing was, okay, we want to do the stealth section. And I see that there's gargoyles in this room.
Mm-hmm.
Why does this fucking asylum have gargoyles?
Yeah, I was gonna. That's the third thing that they really just beat you know, every single encounter you have, basically, you know, it centers around hopping between gargoyles and stringing up dudes one by one.
Yeah.
This no game, one sees you.
No one sees you ever. No. That is, and that's another thing, that the stealth side of it. Like, there's certain things, like a guy will turn and he'll see you instantly if you're standing there. But if you're firing your bat claw up into the ceiling and rappelling past him, he'll be like, oh, I didn't see him. Where was he?
Like 10 feet off the ground.
Yeah. I did notice if you grapple, or if you're moving from like one gargoyle to another for the pretty far distance, they purposely change the camera so that you can't see the full motion. Because when you swing, you're swinging like right in front of these guys' faces. So they just turn the camera so it's not as apparent.
Yeah. And every once in a while, you'll be on a gargoyle that's above a guy, and there'll be no indication, but they'll see you and they'll just unload into you, and you'll be dead. And like, oh, I thought that I was hidden on this gargoyle.
I thought in general these encounters were not, you know, especially replaying it in 2019. There's not enough variety. They, you know, eventually they just add, you know, that everyone has a machine gun, so you just can't really be seen at any point.
Right.
And I just don't think that there's enough to them.
Have you played the other two games in the series?
I played some of Cities, the second one.
Arkham City.
Yeah, City, but...
So playing this game, having played those other games, I agree that it's very limited, because I'll go through like a stealth portion and I'll be used to, like, in another game, like, you can pop out of a vent and like pull somebody in and there'll be like a different animation and strategy for doing that, or the guys will have guns and you can like fire something onto the gun to deactivate it, and then they'll try to shoot and they'll realize that they can't, and like it'll cause a difference. So there's just more variety in that,
right?
And playing this game, going back, realizing like, oh, I can only do three things to these guys.
Yeah, I mean, the things you could do in Spider-Man was, the first thing, if you're perched anywhere, you can string them up. If you're close enough, you can just zip them. You could send out a like a mine type thing, where if they walked in a certain area, it would just send a web spray and spray them to the wall. You could walk behind guys. There was a bunch of I don't know what else. What other stealthy things could you do? I mean, you could just web them from up above.
Yeah, and you can also do like that kind of like zip line kick.
Oh yeah.
Like, and then you had to like get. I just like how like some when they were making Marvel Spider-Man, they were like, what's the best thing we can lift from the Arkham series? Those stealth rooms.
I haven't played it, but like, I'm assuming that there's a lot of the shared DNA between.
Oh my god! The cryptographic sequencer.
Like it's the same game.
They have the exact thing, the cryptographic sequencer, where you have to rotate the two thumbsticks.
Yeah. They have the same puzzle in the new Resident Evil too. Actually.
Oh really?
I don't get the fascination.
That is a long-standing minigame.
Yeah.
Like, I think you gotta vibrate the controller the right way.
But even the combat is like, Spider-Man is like next level.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's obviously made for a different generation, and it's like learning a lot of it. But the combat is like very much Batman Arkham DNA.
And that goes back to what I initially said, that I think Arkham Asylum did kind of set a standard going forward.
Yeah,
for,
of course. You know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think so too.
And this same combat style is used because they also make this series, or W makes this series too, but Shadow of War is the exact same style. Yep. Like, animation style, it looks very similar. It's Lord of the Rings skin, obviously.
Assassin's Creed lifts a lot from it eventually.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But it's the same button sequence, except you have a sword instead of your fist.
Yeah. I would say that with the gadgets in particular, I fucking hated how they controlled. It was like driving me fucking insane, because you have to hit L2 to aim, and then it's R2 to fire. So you have to hold L2, and then R2 you have to hit to fire. And then if you want to do the explosive gel, to L2 to aim, R2 to lay down the explosive gel, and then you have to walk away and hit R1 for some reason.
You don't have to walk away.
You don't have to walk away. I found that out. Yeah, you can be right on top of it.
And also,
he just flinches.
He literally has to spray the bat symbol every time he takes the explosive gel.
Even when he's fighting Poison Ivy, and it's like a real life and death situation.
He's like, I'm going to make the bat symbol.
Yeah.
It doesn't work if it's not a bat symbol.
That's right.
It has to be.
That's the detonator.
Science.
I thought that the gadgets were honestly underutilized, like, for instance, the horizontal zipline thing you get eventually,
right?
That was really just used to get to spots that you saw before that you weren't able to get to.
Mm-hmm. Right,
they were never used, you know, in any kind of the only combat scenario I can think of is at some point you're presented with a chasm and you just zipline over and like kick guys on the way there. But there's I thought that, you know, that's one example the...
They didn't integrate the gadgets into any of the boss fights, really.
Yeah, it was just like, you get to a point, and then it's like, okay, this is the gadget part where, you know, you're pulling down a grate.
It wasn't like a Zelda where you have to use the the weapon that you get in that dungeon.
Right.
There's a boss fight in Arkham City where you fight Mr. Freeze, and he learns your moves as you use them, and there's more variety to what you can do to him, but it's all the classic Batman stuff that you see in Arkham Asylum. Mm-hmm. But every time you do, you have to hit him like six times or something.
But you have to do a different thing.
But every time, every time he'll like take something in your arsenal away from you.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. It's one of the better boss fights.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the best in the whole series. I mean, you have the beginnings of a lot of really good ideas in this game. Mm-hmm. And I think as you continue to play the series, if you do continue to play the series, you know, those ideas really get evolved and the gadgets become like much more fun to actually like utilize in combat.
I would say too, even the upgrade system was like super weak. I was like, okay, so we're going to throw out now multiple batarangs.
Yeah.
And now we're going to do Sonic Batarang?
Well, the multiple batarangs I used mostly when I just got tired in the stealth sections of taking, you know, the gun guys out one by one. So I'd wait till there were three of them or whatever, and then I could just hit them all with a batarang.
Yeah.
And swoop down and kill him. But, like, I never used the Sonic one.
Never used
it. I never used any of the advanced explosive stuff.
Mm-hmm. And they also, they, like, introduced this mechanic where guys had neck things that made them loud when they, got knocked out.
It basically just meant that you had to run away quickly.
Yeah, it never really did anything.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be like, oh, this guy gets knocked out, so more guys are supposed to come over and, like, fuck you up. But it didn't really change how I played stealth at all, because I would just run away when I got killed somebody anyways. Yeah.
And I think that kind of exemplifies the weakness in the combat scenarios in that they never really evolve. They just add, you know, the, like you say, the Sonic necklace or whatever.
Right.
And give everyone a gun.
I also thought it was, I think, Steve, you were talking to me about how you're like, oh, it's a great Metroidvania game.
Mm-hmm.
And I played this game, and this game's not a Metroidvania game.
Well, yeah. I was wondering about that as I was playing it, too.
Because it's very linear. It just makes you go back through paths that you already were back.
And it's gated by gadgets you get.
Yeah, and that's sometimes, but not a lot.
I was wondering about that. So, like, what would make it more of a Metroidvania game?
I think if you have to, like, go and re-explore areas that you go back to, like, all the time, and you have to frequently go in between areas that you go
so
through.
So this is more like you're saying, like, you're following a path, and you just happen to cross your path where you previously had played.
And, like, the hub, like, the outdoors areas are really nothing of substance. It's really just, you know, a hub from building to building.
Right.
Yeah, there might be some snipers and some enemies you have to get
through.
But
it's, for the most part, trivial.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of navigating them.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else I want to talk about? Scarecrow hallucinations. That area. Those areas. Those are pretty cool. They're nice change of pace.
I could have done with more scarecrow stuff.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah, I was a big fan of those, too.
Yeah. So you have to, like, hide, and you get introduced to a little bit of the story. I think that's really... the story beyond those areas where you're introduced to what Batman is was not, like... What was it? So it was the Joker was using Venom to pump up prisoners to invade.
He was using a form of Venom called Titan that made them into super soldiers. And he was working with this scientist who is in Arkham Asylum, and she doesn't know that she's working for the Joker, developing this serum.
Oh, okay.
He was using a pen name.
Yeah. He uses his alias, which is Jack White, which I laughed about.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, Jack
That's
White,
the only reason
like,
I remember
breaking
it.
Into Arkham Asylum.
He would be a good Batman villain.
Oh, he'd be a great Batman villain.
He's got the aesthetic for it.
Jack Black?
Or, no, Jack White. Jack Black would probably also
work
out.
Jack Black
the penguin.
Yeah. Hey.
He's got the figure.
But yeah, so because Joker is, you know, he no longer has the scientist working for him, he arranges to be captured by Batman and brought into Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
And then he takes over the asylum and sets all the supervillains free.
And blows her up.
Yeah. So one of the things that I was, when I go back to talking about the aesthetic and how they didn't quite get it, I didn't think they got it right. And my point of view for Batman, which was the Nightfall series, this very much felt like that's what they were trying to do, where he's going through a lot of stuff and he's getting beat up. And they even show on some parts of his body, like he has like a ripped cape at the end, and he has
takes more wear and tear.
Yeah, I like when games do that. I wish Yeah, I wish there was more of that.
Yeah, and that's what I was hoping for, yeah. is like he gets beat up and then he's like, okay, he gets this fight with this Joker and he's super tired and he's just like a shell of a man. Maybe he has like a beard, and that's what I was hoping for.
It would have been cool.
Grew a beard in one night?
Yeah.
I would have liked it if they somehow worked that into the mechanics where, you know, it's been this one, you know, he's been doing this constantly for, you know,
or just
a
had
day
like a section where he was tired and then he goes back to the Batcave that somehow is underneath Arkham Asylum and hits himself with adrenaline and is like, right, I'm ready
yeah.
to go.
Yeah, if they could somehow make his fatigue like a mechanic,
yeah,
that would be cool.
Yeah, that would have been neat.
Yeah, there's a Batcave underneath Arkham Asylum.
Yep,
you always gotta have a contingency Batcave.
Yep.
Contingency Batcave, and for some reason there's a section that's blocked off that you can't get to until you get a gadget that's for some reason not in the Batcave.
Right.
Yeah. I love when he's assembling the Ultra Batclaw too. When Poison Ivy like blows up the Batcave later on, and yeah. he's like, oh, "I can't believe this!" And he just has all these like random pieces. He's like putting them together, and then it's just like a 3-pronged Batclaw, yeah. and it's like, "Oh, that's okay.
Okay, yeah, got it.
Got it."
That's another thing that feeds into the ending of this game is like, "Oh, we got a phone call, and Two-Face is robbing a bank, and Batman's like, okay, I'm just gonna hop in my plane and go fight him." After I had this whole night where I was fighting bad guys,
is that the beginning of Arkham City?
It is related. Two-Face is one of the villains in
but it's
Arkham
not,
City.
It's yeah, not a no, direct. Like, it's yeah. not starting right from.
Right. I don't think it's right after that. But basically, Arkham City is like because of all the events in Arkham Asylum, they had to section off a part of Gotham, and they've turned it into like a prison. It's like it's like Escape from New York.
Did they get the poisoned water or whatever?
I don't think that the Titan story does continue.
That's
the whole
Batman life. Begins.
Yeah,
right. Yeah,
but I mean that's his goal though, is to poison the water supply, yeah. and I think like blood drives and stuff like that. I think is mm-hmm. what Joker's ultimate goal is.
That that's in Arkham
foiled.
Knight.
Yeah. There we go. Mm-hmm.
He's always trying to push the Titan and like his own DNA in some way too. Which
is his DNA part of Titan?
So there's spoilers that later in the game, but basically
I don't care.
Okay. So at the end of Arkham City, you kill the Joker, or the Joker dies. Okay. And so then in the beginning of Arkham Knight, you find out that Joker has done like blood transfusions to people, and they start becoming infected with the Joker DNA or whatever, right. and they start becoming like the Joker. Huh. And then Batman is one of the people who's been infected too. And he sees this hallucination of the Joker that follows him around everywhere.
Yeah.
And so like, it's actually a really cool mechanic because you'll be like soaring around Gotham and the Joker, and you'll land on a building and the Joker will just be like sitting there waiting for you.
That's neat.
he'll mock you, or like, your parents are dead, Bat. You know, or just all the typical Joker
that's
stuff.
Good. That's good.
I am too easily, you know, amused or impressed with like hallucination stuff in games.
Yes. I really Metal like Gear Solid stuff. 2 is yeah. like so good.
They do it really, really well because he's losing his mind and he's dying too in that one. And there's, of course, all the usual like supervillain stuff going on.
Yeah.
But the Joker isn't alive, but he's like haunting you the whole time.
That's cool.
That's going to be in the next Spider-Man game. Dr. Yep. Octopus is going to be a hallucination that's just going to pop up everywhere.
It's got the AI chip or something like that. Yeah. It's in my brain.
Did you play Spider-Man Marvel? You don't know
no,
PS4.
Because I don't have a PS4 and I'm very, very sad. I want to play it.
Yeah,
it's
like another Arkham game.
I know. I've found myself on Amazon just staring at it, like, do it. Buy like, the PS4. But I won't.
Yeah, so I got to play I got to play Arkham City, and I want to play Arkham Knight eventually. But yeah, I think that this game shows like a lot of potential for what the series would become. And obviously, there's a lot of stuff that takes itself from this game. So now that we're talking about legacy, we have to talk about our endless list.
I have something else I need to talk about before.
Okay. Okay. Bullet points. So, we got bullet points.
This game introduced. It's not necessarily the first game to do it, but it's in my mind it is the greatest defender of the detective mode.
Oh yes.
We did not talk about
that, dude. I think that is like the worst mechanic ever in this game.
So
it gives you wall hacks, and at some point it becomes. There's no reason not to be in detective mode the whole game.
Yeah. Right.
And it completely changes the entire, you know, aesthetic and graphics of the game, where they've done all this work on this, you know, sweet art and everything else, and then really you're just wall hacking the rest of the game. You're looking at, you know, red guys and blue guys with skeletons and like a, you know, like a matte blue, like, you know, 3D, you know, computer graphic sort of view of everything.
Yeah, it's like an X-ray scan.
And I hate it. I think it's the worst.
So the way I describe it is that these developers were not good enough to incorporate a breadcrumb trail into the actual game, so they just made it really super fucking obvious with Detective Vision. So it's just, I think that's just a bad game design.
I think so too. It's a blemish that I really just can't get over in this game.
I don't think it's bothered me as much, but I have thought about elements of that where I'll be playing and I'm like, I'm afraid to turn off detective mode.
Yeah, there's no reason to.
I agree. Like,
but because you want to see how how the world works.
Yeah, it's not easy to do the combat in detective mode. You do need to turn that off, I think, to like have a slight advantage.
All the white guys turn all the guys turn white.
Yeah.
So they just become like a jumbled mess. So it's hard to see.
You can't read their movements as easily. Fair. As I can.
But it's funny playing Sekiro now, where there's a lot of combat scenarios where you're, you know, up above people and trying to stealthily kind of manage, you know, who sees you and how you take them out one by one.
Mm-hmm.
It's just night and day, you know, how much better they implement it in that game versus, you know, forcing you to use this wall hack. Detective mode.
I just wish they were like, this is almost like, I almost think in my mind it'd be better if they had an arrow that pointed you in the direction.
Yeah, because then
you
would
see the, you see the, or if they it just made the fingerprints that were, you had to chase everywhere.
Right.
Just dots that were highlighted.
Yeah. Like you didn't have to turn it on. It just automatically was part of your detective
sense. Do they ever change that in the later games? Or is
Detective mode you become less reliant later on the detective modes, and like they make the aesthetic for it like less
obtrusive.
Yeah. Because I mean, like at some point you reach a point in Arkham Asylum where it's like you're basically the entire game is washed in blue, and that's pretty much how you're playing the game. And it's you know, it's like everything else we're saying with this game. It's the beginnings of something that gets fleshed out and refined and becomes a lot better as the series goes on, and then gets stolen by Spider-Man.
And they expand on it a little bit too. Like the crime scene becomes larger, and you have to find more clues. And sometimes you can recreate the events of what's happening and play them back and like stand in them. And there's like a hologram that goes
those
over.
Yeah, those are awesome.
And you'll have to like recreate a car crash, and then somebody gets out, and there's a blood trail, and you'll see them close. And then it'll lead you to some other room that you.
So you're making me want to. You're selling me on the other games.
Oh yeah.
But what did you think of Marvel Spider-Man?
Loved it.
Because that's essentially what the Arkham series turns into.
Yeah.
Cool. I can't wait to get there.
It just seems to me like they maybe were somehow playtesting their stealth scenarios, and they were like, there's no way for us. We need a way to make people know the bad guys are.
You talk about Assassin's Creed too. Like that had like the eagle sense in those games. It's the same idea.
And I really don't like that it takes
you out of the game.
Yeah.
It does not make it seem like you're playing it makes you instead of like being in a Batman game, you're now playing a video game.
Yeah.
And like the Metal Gear games, they get by giving you like a radar.
Right.
And I mean, you know,
3 doesn't though.
True. Yes. Yeah. But I think giving some way for the game to relate to the player, that the character saw someone and then they went behind a wall, so the character still knows that there's someone in that area.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, that's obviously the challenge, but any way to do it without letting you just see the character through the wall.
Yeah. Like Metal Gear Solid 5, you have to survey all the enemies and then tag them one by one, and then you track them forever after that. So it's similar.
But at least you put forth the effort to track find them first.
Yeah, and you may like find that, oh, I only marked, you know, 5 of them, and there's actually 8 of them, and I didn't see these guys.
And maybe that's not ideal, but I think it's better than this.
Mm-hmm. So, that being said. We have a list. It is our endless list. It goes from 1 through 28. The top 5 currently are The Legend of Zelda, GoldenEye, Final Fantasy IV, Resident Evil, and Metroid. Bottom 5 are Pro Wrestling for the NES, Paperboy, Contra Hardcore, John Madden Football 93, and Pro Wrestling for the Sega Master System.
Pro Wrestling's not having a good showing.
No, I mean, Pro Wrestling for the NES, have you played that game?
Nope.
It won't be the lowest game when we're done. But it is not a terrible game. I want to go around the room and okay, Steve, you haven't been here since we've implemented this system, mm-hmm. but we start off at a point and we work our way up or down.
I caught that in the God of War podcast.
Yeah. So we've done that for a couple of these. And I want to go around the room and I'm going to take an average of where we should start, and we're going to start with that average. So where do you think we should start on this list, Steve?
So
start our conversation.
Yeah. So I'm looking at Hotline Miami at 14 and WWF No Mercy at 15 and thinking around there to start.
Okay, 14, 15. I'm going to go with 14. What about you?
Why don't we start at, I would vote 17 God of War and go from there, but
okay.
I
mean, 14
is, 14 God is good enough for me too.
Chris? I'm going to say 1 just to fuck this all up. No, you know, we kind of shit in this game quite a bit, but it's actually still a really good game.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll probably, it ain't better than Star Fox, I'll tell you that. I'll tell you that right
at 13.
Now.
Yeah, yeah, Star Fox is a pretty big obstacle for me because I love Star Fox 64. Mm.
Yeah, we're yeah. there. Okay.
Yeah, so I think I'm also in the 14 range.
All right, so let's start at, including myself, which I'll say God of War 2. We'll start at 16. So is this game better than Garou Mark of the Wolves?
I have never played that game, and I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah, those. You have.
Have I?
Yeah, yeah, you played it in my house. It's the fighting game with...
But that's a good indicator. Yeah,
that is a good indicator.
Yes. That doesn't really memorable game that
you
I've
have
played.
Played that game. Yes.
In fairness, yeah. I always just lump those in right, as right. the games we play at Matt's when we do games. Fighting game right.
I mean, you know, it's always hard for me to compare games to, like, a good fighting game. Where a good fighting game you can kind of play forever. Whereas having played Arkham Asylum for the second time, I don't really ever want to play it a third time.
Yeah.
But I think the case could be made that it's a better game than Garou.
I think there's just more to it.
I think it has a little bit more historical weight to
it. Yeah, and there's more of a legacy. Too.
Yeah,
so.
I think that's completely fair.
All right, we'll go above.
I have a lot of issues with Arkham Asylum, but I think the combat system kind of carries the game.
Yeah.
So let's go above Garou. Is it better than WWF No Mercy? You've got a defender here of No Mercy.
I mean, you know, No Mercy should be so much higher on this list than it is. So let's start with that.
I think it's a better game. I think it has a... I would say the one thing that I'll say about this game versus that game is this game probably has a more complete vision. If you think about like how the developers went out and they had this idea for a game and they executed, I'd say their vision a little bit better because it's a more whole with its story and its pacing.
Listen, you can pull giant beer cans out of the crowd and eat something with it. Don't talk to me about that game not having vision.
I think No Mercy's got a lot of attention to detail and it's got a lot of... there's like a breadth of so much that can just be done in that game.
Right.
And I think that, you know, I think that's a great argument for it. But to Mike's point, I think Arkham Asylum is a more complete game.
It's a more well-rounded game.
Yeah.
We didn't even talk about this, but I really liked the interviews that they had.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was
a
really great part where you get the background of these characters, and you have to go through the environment and find them. I kind of wish that they were just one.
More, I wish there were like more a tape of them.
With like, yeah,
or like the background of Arkham, the you found with the bugs,
Amadeus, Arkham or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you those were really
shrines.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think, like you said earlier, this supporting cast of Batman lends itself very well to a video game, and mm-hmm. And I think all the. Even the character, like Calendar Man, like I was found myself reading the biography of Calendar Man.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even see Calendar Man.
He's one of the riddles. You find a room basically with all these ripped off calendar pages, but it's like, it was still something I was
like
interested in looking
like for. Stuff like that that's like really cool in this game.
Yeah.
But I have my issues. Obviously, I have my issues with it, but I think it's a little bit better game than WWF No Mercy.
I think it's a hard thing to... compare. These are two drastically, you know.
That's why they call the professionals.
There's no ladder matches in Arkham Asylum, all right?
Every time we do this, you can't say that it's really hard to do because we say it every time. Yes, we know it's really hard, but we're doing it.
I don't think it goes above Hotline Miami.
Yeah, I'm wondering about that myself.
I think Hotline Miami also has sweet hallucination scenes, and it does them better.
And the gameplay is very good. It's very satisfying.
I'm not willing to put it above Star Fox 64, and I'm okay with not putting it above Hotline Miami.
At 14.
At 14.
So it would be the new 15?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you guys feel about that?
What do you think?
I think fine.
Just fine. Is that a good fine?
Do you think it should go lower than this, where it is?
I'm just having a hard time putting it above No Mercy.
Okay.
But
I know there's a very strong wrestling opinion on this show.
Yeah, and we just did a wrestling
for me, No Mercy could be off this list and I wouldn't care. So.
My God. Get out of my house. Get out.
Turn the heat on?
Somebody just did a heel.
I say that with the utmost respect for the fake sport of
wrestling. That's like hitting Chris, who's wearing a CM Punk sweatshirt right now.
I actually had to look down really quick and be like, am I also wearing a wrestling t-shirt? I'm not. I mean, what has better
results? We are sitting in the middle of a wrestling arena room here, essentially, so I get it.
What has better villains? Batman has the Joker. No Mercy has Chris Benoit.
Oh.
That is a good angle. Please delete that. Is the supporting cast for Batman better than the supporting cast for WWF No Mercy?
Yes.
Stone Cold, Taker, The Rock.
Mankind?
Are there cool like interviews and like behind the scenes kind of like...
No, they're terrible.
They're terrible interviews.
So, I mean, you know...
But there are interviews. They're just terrible.
Yeah, I think that brings up a good point, though. Like, they have a storyline mode, but it's not the greatest.
Yeah, yeah. They didn't bring Paul Heyman in to write that one.
Yeah, it was like one of the first ones, so...
Yeah.
I think just the legacy of this game is enough for it to be. Because WWF No Mercy ended. And like there's a lot of people who really like that, but there's not anybody making money off that anymore. You know?
Oh, was No Mercy like a thing, like a storyline or something?
No Mercy like the, like it was...
It was a show or...
The title?
No, there was like a series of games. WrestleMania 2000, WCW versus NWO.
Right. Yeah, I played those games. I thought it was like a Raw kind of equivalent or something like that.
No, but they stopped using the engine after No Mercy. That was like the pinnacle of that. And there hasn't been anything that's... They completely changed wrestling games after that.
Yeah, the last...
And they've all sucked since then,
right,
by the way.
Yeah,
they named the last one after like the most random B pay-per-view that they had around that time.
And now people know that more so for the video game.
The one wrestling game I played was WCW versus NWO World Tour.
Yeah.
That's what this was based on. It was the progenitor of this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I played that when I was...
There was... Yeah, that, or whatever. That era, like the N64, PlayStation 1.
We just get into wrestling conversations.
I don't even like wrestling, but those games were so much fun.
They were good. But where do we want to put it on this list?
I think 15, below Hotline Miami and above WWF No Mercy.
I think we have 3-1.
Fine.
Yeah. Fine. I think we're all good, though. We're pretty okay with
it. I might put it over Hotline Miami, but Hotline Miami is an awesome game. Yeah. So I'm okay with not doing that.
All right, well, we have a pretty clear consensus. We'll add it to our list at number 15.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's lower than I... For some reason, I thought I was going to be fighting people off, keeping this game out of like the top five. Very happy that it ended up where
that was my first reaction to come in here and put it at the top of the list.
Yeah.
But
I have a feeling
the more I played it, and the
I think
more
if
I
you're
hear,
talking about Arkham City, yeah. I think we'd be having much more
Arkham
top
City
seven.
Is the
I
type,
think
is
we
the
need
position.
To we need to have an eye on the future when we're having these conversations, because if we do eventually add Arkham City, it's gonna go higher than 15.
That's fair.
Probably.
Yeah.
But you know, Asylum won't be 15. It'll be, you know, 20 or 30.
Arkham City just improves on it so much, and you can... It's an open world game, but it's still small enough that it feels like you're in a, you know, kind of tight, like well designed game. You can fly
around. So it's the WWF No Mercy of Arkham games?
I guess so, yeah.
Basically.
And then like Knight improves on it too, but it gets really bloated, and you have to... There's a lot of criticism about the tank.
Yeah,
you can turn the Batmobile into a tank, and you fight these drones for like half the game.
I've heard some criticisms.
People get really, really burnt out.
And also people didn't like Origins either.
Origins
was a different developer and stuff too.
I completely forgot about that game.
Yeah. That game, I only got halfway through and then I stopped playing.
Yeah, it's...
I would go back, but it's not as good.
It's because it's a different team developer.
And also we should mention there's rumors that the team that made Origins is making another Arkham game right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so there might be a new one coming out.
And it's not Rock... What is the developer?
Warner Brothers Montreal, who made Origins, because they don't know what they're making.
Did they make anything else?
They're an... is it Ubisoft? Is that who made this? No.
Is Ubisoft making the alleged Avengers game?
Maybe.
I am.
Is it Square?
Stunned that there's no Avengers game.
I know that there's supposed to be an Avengers game, but I don't know who is making it.
Yeah, I don't know. But playing through Spider-Man, there's Avengers Tower in Spider-Man. I'm like, I just want other superheroes to be in this game so bad.
This is part of why I wanted to play Anthem so much, because I was like, finally, something that is kind of like playing like Iron Man. And then that game ended up being only
There's no other superheroes except for...
There are no other superheroes.
Not in Spider-Man. Oh. In Spider-Man, there's no other superheroes except for Miles Morales, but he doesn't really become anything.
Yeah, he's other Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like Silver Sable, but she's like a
tweener. Like a villain. Yeah.
Tweener.
Guys, I want to play that game so bad.
It's really good. But there's one of the achievements is to climb to the top of Avengers Tower, which is the tallest building in the game.
Mm.
It's good. It's good.
Nice. Is that trivial in that game? Like climbing? It would seem that Spider-Man should just be able to climb
run up to the top.
Yeah, she just knock on
the door. But it's the tallest building in the game, so that's like, why they.
I'm here to see my father figure, Tony Stark.
Weird. That's weird.
He crossed
2019 in comic books is weird.
Is that a thing?
Yes.
In the movies.
Yeah, the movies.
In the MCU, he's kind of
like... He fades away and he's like, no, Tony. And Tony's like crying.
You never see Uncle Ben in these.
They don't even talk about him.
No, they don't talk about him, which is good. Like, the same way, like, in these games, it's like, all right, we get it. Batman has dead parents. Yeah. We know.
But the video game Spider-Man has crossed over to Marvel Comics now.
Really?
They brought him in. They just did like a recent like Spider-Geddon style event, and they brought him in, and he actually played like a significant role. Now I think he has a comic series based on the TV.
One thing I didn't like about that Spider-Man game was Peter Parker. I hated him. I think the way that PS4 renders hair, it looks terrible.
I remember seeing.
In particular, he looked bad.
I remember hearing a lot about like the facial movements and stuff being pretty convincing in this.
Yeah, like the faces are fine, but the hair.
But it's just
looks,
the hair.
Hair looks terrible. Like Horizon
they need that
Zero,
hair work. Hair works.
Horizon Zero Dawn, the hair looked awful. It was the same thing. So, but we are off topic, and we've added a new game to our list. Number 15 is Batman Arkham Asylum. I want to thank Steve.
Thank you, Mike.
Matt.
Yep.
Chris for being on two podcasts today.
Yep.
And we will have you guys on more. And acknowledgements to your client, Dos Cicchini Jr., for making the music.
I'll pass those along.
You can follow us on the Twitter at itsobadpod, itsobadpod@gmail.com. We have a request from a listener for a game, which we'll add to the list at some point. But we welcome your feedback and also other requests.
Star Wars Pod Racer?
No. But there's a lot of people at this table who would love to do that game.
I was just thinking about that game this morning. Yeah.
So, I was not. I was
I don't know why. Probably just because
it's 2019. I'm thinking about other things.
I was thinking about buying diapers.
I was thinking of random games we could play, you know?
I was thinking about buying diapers and formula. Yeah. So,
guys, I think we should put Batman at the top of the list.
All right. This has been fun. Thank you, guys.